From the Midas of Roseburg studio, KQEN weather forecast. Today, sunny and 95. Tonight, clear and 59 for a low. Tomorrow, sunny and 98. Friday, sunny and 93. For the weekend, Saturday, sunny and 95. And Sunday, sunny and 101 degrees expected. 84 degrees now. KQEN news time is 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being here today. Alex Scarlatos, Republican candidate for Congress in the 4th District, joining us. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So with the election deadline 2 months away, how do you feel your campaign is going?
Oh, I think we're doing really well. We have tons of support from all across the district. Our fundraising is going well, of course, and we're just trying to do everything we can to have good outreach to moderates and non-affiliated voters.
Now, one of the things that tends to happen in political campaigns, a lot of things happen behind the scenes and really things kick into high gear after Labor Day weekend, though some campaigns have been out there a little sooner this time around. Maybe that's due to some of the other things that can't be going on due to COVID-19.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a hurdle, especially being the non-incumbent candidate. I think the incumbent always has an advantage, and especially now with coronavirus. But that being said, we're doing a lot of smaller grassroots events, and our fundraising is definitely going to help us with outreach to voters that, you know, normally we wouldn't be able to contact due to coronavirus. But that's I think we're doing really well there as well.
So as you are running, what are some of the issues, some of the ideas that you're pushing the hardest, maybe things you want to communicate with people listening right now?
Well, we're trying to run on, you know, a lot of common sense issues, like getting back to managing the forests properly in a way that actually prevents forest fires while creating jobs. Obviously, protecting the Second Amendment, I feel, is a very important issue right now. Considering where Peter DeFazio has been on it in the past, and with the Democrats calling to defund the police and the riots going on, I mean, it's a very important issue, more so now than ever. And as well as, you know, being tough on China due to our trade policies in the past and the coronavirus, of course. And also, I think lowering the cost of prescription drugs is something that everybody can get behind these days.
So as you've gone through and studied these issues, I mean, running for Congress seems a bit ominous, and especially when you're running against someone who normally wins pretty handily. Why do you think it could be different this time?
Well, I think it's going to be different this time because, honestly, we're just running a much better campaign than I think has ever been run in the 4th Congressional in the past. I think in the past, people in the middle, like the moderate, non-affiliated voters, didn't really have a home. I think Art Robinson maybe came across as too far right. And I think most people can agree that DeFazio is too far left. And so we're just trying to appeal to people in the middle and hopefully get their vote on common sense issues that most people can get behind.
Now, the 4th District is real interesting because it has sections that are very heavily Democratic and progressive, like Eugene and Corvallis. Then you have the rural areas that tend to vote more for Republicans that are more conservative overall, and it's been a very interesting district, and of course it's been under Democratic control for a long time.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think, you know, people that are incredibly far left are going to vote for us, but hopefully we'll get people in the rural areas and a lot of the more softer Democrats, non-affiliated moderate voters. I think Peter DeFazio has really scared a lot of people off recently. I mean, coming out in favor of defunding the police, he votes with AOC 96% of the time. He co-sponsored the Green New Deal. I mean, he's not the moderate Democrat that we once knew. And it's unfortunate because, frankly, I wish he was doing a better job of representing the district, because then I wouldn't have to run for Congress. But he's not, and we need lots of help. And I mean, he's had 33 years to to help out his congressional district. And instead, we're the poorest district in the state. And I think if he was going to do something for us, he would have done it by now.
What made you decide to run for Congress? I mean, you ran for office in the past, and there were other offices probably out there that you looked at, but why did you pick this this election, to this time around, to run for such a high office?
Well, I think the timing is right, if nothing else. I think people are ready for a change. I mean, also, my main motivation for running is ONC timber legislation and trying to get back to responsible forest management so we don't see our natural resources go up in smoke every year, especially when we're hurting so much economically and county governments can't get funding. That's kind of my main motivation. That's what really got me involved in politics to begin with. And unfortunately, it's a federal issue, so I have to run federal office to be able to change it.
What are some of the things that you would like to change with the federal forest management?
Well, I think the number one priority and the thing that most people agree should be a healthy compromise is salvage logging. Peter DeFazio just voted against salvage logging about 3 weeks ago in committee, and we salvage log less than 1% of all burned timber on federal lands. And of course, a burned tree has about 90% of its value if it's harvested within 18 months. And instead of cutting it down, providing jobs and tax dollars to county governments, we just let it rot and dump carbon into the atmosphere. When if you let someone harvest it, they have to plant trees in their place, which then grow up and actually restore the forest a lot faster than if you just let an entire forest rot, which to me just is a colossal waste on just about every front.
Now, this timber issue and management issue for federal forest lands, it's been around for a long time. Some have said that things have improved somewhat during the current presidential administration. What are your thoughts?
Not much. And honestly, it hasn't been nearly enough. I mean, I think that if we can't get something done on salvage logging, I mean, I just don't understand why that's even a thing. I mean, that should be the most common sense compromise that both parties should be able to reach. Sure, I'd like to see the harvest rates go up on federal lands, period, because, again, that's what the ONC agreement was about, was at least 500 million board feet annually on ONC lands. And now we're doing, I think, 270 or 280, which is almost half of the mandatory minimum. But, I mean, I just think that if someone like Peter DeFazio can't even agree that we need to do more salvage logging, then we really need someone else to represent the 4th Congressional District.
As you studied the timber issue, who are some of the folks that you've learned maybe the most from about this topic?
I've talked to lots of different people. David Brock Smith is incredibly intelligent when it comes to environmental impacts. State Senator Dallas Hurd was kind of the one that got me interested in it to begin with. I mean, I've talked to, you know, AFRC, Douglas Timber Operators, of course, Pat Strick, Douglas Forest Protective Agency, a lot of different people, honestly, just industry and people that deal or work in the forest on a daily basis. I think the people that are closest to the problem are the ones best to solve it, and that our decisions about our forest policy should not be made thousands of miles away in Washington, D.C.
And we've heard from some of our local elected officials who said they're seeing progress under the Trump administration. But here we are in a presidential election year. Obviously, we won't know until a couple months up the road which way the presidential election is going to turn out. So you have the potential there to shift back even further from some of the gains that have been made in the last couple of years.
Well, absolutely. And I think that, I mean, if someone like Joe Biden wins, I mean, I don't think we get anything done on forestry for his entire presidency. I think that this is something that should have happened by now, and I think it's something that probably can only happen while Donald Trump is president. And if I'm elected, hopefully, this year, and Donald Trump is reelected, I'm hoping we can get something done within my first or second term in office.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More with Alex Scarlatos when we come back. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming at 1 o'clock. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show with the Commissioner of Dirt this afternoon. Part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County program, we'll talk to State Senator Floyd Prezansky. Alex Scarlatos, Republican candidate for Congress, on with us right now. Contrast the different experience in your background and the background of Congressman DeFazio.
Well, I mean, like I've said, I mean, he's been a career politician his whole life, I think since he was about 21 years old. And I feel like that if he was going to do anything for us, he would have done it in the last 33 years. I've adapted to a lot of different things, and I like to think that for my age, I have a very diverse background. And, I mean, like I said, I've been learning the issues over the last few years and really want to actually get something done for Oregon's 4th Congressional District so we're not the poorest congressional district in the state anymore.
The nation right now clearly is highly polarized. Do you feel like this is slowing the work of Congress on anything?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, I just don't think that it's healthy for the country to be as polarized as it is. I mean, regardless of how well Congress is adjusting to it or not. I just think that there's a huge group of people in the middle that don't feel like they have a home in either party. And people that actually want to see something get done in regards to serious problems like the national debt, something that, you know, they feel like both parties are ignoring. And I mean, even the Second Amendment right now is incredibly important. And I think that we need someone that will actually protect and preserve our rights instead of trying to take them away constantly.
You mentioned the budget deficit. How do we tackle it during this time because of COVID-19 when really both sides of the aisle are pushing for more deficit spending?
Well, let's be honest, both sides of the aisle are always pushing for more spending, regardless of coronavirus or not. And I mean, we really just need to put our foot down and realize that this is not sustainable. I mean, people my age, I think, are a little bit more cynical in general, especially growing up during the recession of 2008. And we realize that if the deficit gets any larger, it's going to have some very serious consequences for our country, probably in the near future.
And that's one thing that I've heard along the way talking to some financial folks, that they feel like millennials, which you fit in that category, are more concerned about the budget deficit. For folks that are older, they've kind of heard about it their whole life, and it hasn't seemed to impact a lot of things except looking at charts and graphs. But when you're younger and you look at the potential of, is this program still going to be there when I retire, for instance, I would imagine that does bring more concern from someone that's a younger age.
Well, absolutely. And of course, we're younger, so we're going to have to deal with this system a lot longer than older people are. So we want to make sure that our government and our spending are at healthy amounts. And if they're not, I mean, obviously, that's going to be a concern for us probably before we retire.
So how do you get Congress to get in there and somehow come from both sides of the aisle and craft a way to eventually bring down deficit spending?
Well, I mean, I think it has to start with the Republican Party because we tend to be the most fiscally conservative, and we need to get our act together and realize that this is something that we need to actually get done. And I think that if we can do that, I think a lot of, again, younger people and more moderate voters will realize that we are actually the fiscally conservative party, and hopefully we can get a lot of support from that. But right now, I mean, it seems like there's almost no Democrats that are concerned with it, and maybe only a quarter or a third of the Republican Party are at least serious about doing anything about it. So I think we need to worry about the Republican Party first and then worry about outreach after that.
And there's even some concern that some of the things that are being implemented this year due to COVID-19 could drastically shorten the window of Social Security being in operation.
Well, of course, and we've added a huge amount to our national debt this year alone with a lot of the coronavirus bailouts and things like that. So it's a huge concern, and it just seems like it gets worse and worse every year instead of getting better. And if it keeps ballooning at this rate, I mean, like I said, we're going to have to deal with this problem much sooner than anticipated.
So are you getting help, advice from current members of Congress or people in the Republican Party that are kind of helping you navigate this campaign?
A little bit. I mean, we've gotten a lot of advice, and I've met with quite a few congressmen just to learn the issues and figure out where we need to be as a party. And I mean, honestly, as a younger person, I like to think that I've kind of helped advise them on how to outreach to younger people and the younger generations coming up that, like I said, are more concerned with issues that could be affecting us long term, like the national debt. And I mean, really, I think whichever party does better outreach to the younger generations is really going to have control for the next 20 years or so. And so I think the Republicans need to do a better job at that. And I think that, like I said before, that we really need to do a better job and with outreach on things like the national debt and issues that younger generations actually care about. And we don't really want to see the Republicans and Democrats become more and more partisan like they have year after year.
Have you had an opportunity to go back and actually observe Congress in session?
No, I actually have not. Honestly, I've been very busy campaigning over the last year. And of course, now with coronavirus, I mean, a lot of members are voting remotely and DC is practically shut down due to the coronavirus. So it's very hard to do that nowadays.
And one of the interesting elements of that has been the shift, and I was talking to a couple of folks over the past few weeks in Washington, D.C., describing what you just said there about rapid changes and how Congress even operates. And once we get past COVID-19, the question is, would it be more efficient to do some more things like that in the future and not have so many crisscrossing trips across the country?
Well, we have to worry about what the Constitution actually says about that first. So it might require a constitutional amendment if we're going to do something like that. But I think more importantly, we've seen how a lot of businesses have been able to adapt to coronavirus. And I think in the future, you're going to see a lot more businesses having their employees work from home so that they don't have the overhead of an actual brick and mortar business storefront. And I think it's going to really change our economy long term, more so than how the government's run.
And we're seeing a number of people from, for the most part, California at this point, moving into the Umpqua Valley right now, who are in jobs where they can work remotely, maybe travel occasionally. And it's made for an interesting shift so far, talking to some of our real estate folks about the number of people that are looking at the Umpqua Valley because they feel like they can have a better quality of life here, but still work for a company in Los Angeles, San Francisco, et cetera.
Well, and of course, not to mention a lot of people are fleeing the cities due to, you know, high taxes and the riots going on right now. So I think that you might see a large influx of people moving to rural areas across the entire country.
About a minute or so left on Inside Douglas County with Alex Garlatos. How are you campaigning, given all the limitations on events because of COVID-19? I mean, you didn't have a county fair to go to, none of these city festivals happening, things like that. How do you still get out there and contact voters?
Well, I mean, it is incredibly difficult, I mean, especially for a challenger. But we've been doing a lot of things over Zoom and Facebook and doing a lot of digital outreach, as well as we're already up on TV. And frankly, I really think that just people talking about us and sharing our stuff on Facebook is going to be the biggest help that we can get in this race. I mean, you can spend all the money in the world on TV, but there's no replacement for grassroots support and people knocking on doors and actually talking about you in their day-to-day life.
So if somebody, and this is early on because ballots don't come out for weeks, but if somebody's still wondering about the race, what would your kind of final pitch be as to why they should consider voting for you this fall?
Well, I think at the end of the day, we need change. We need someone else to represent Oregon sports. Peter DeFazio has had 33 years to solve our problems and hasn't yet. I don't think he needs two more years to do so. I think we need someone to actually have a fresh look and actually represent the issues that people care about in the district, and not something that's incredibly partisan like Peter DeFazio has been, especially in the last 6 to 7 years.
All right, Alex Garlatos there on Inside Douglas County, 1257.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.